Hello and welcome to the Soulful Self Podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Cora. This podcast is a resource for all spiritual beings to grow personally, heal emotionally, and align with our highest spiritual evolvement, no matter what this human experience throws our way. Thank you so much for being here. Now let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Soulful Self Podcast. I am your host, Chelsea Cora, and I'm very excited to have each and every one of you here today. Today, I am going to make this episode about a tool that has helped me in my relationship with myself and others, but most importantly, my relationship with my significant other. I have been embarking upon this beautiful romantic journey with my partner for the past 10 months. And as beautiful and amazing and exciting as it has all been, it has not always been easy. There have, of course, been some inevitable challenges that have cropped up along the way that have helped us both grow and expand on a higher level, but it has taken from both of us a willingness to grow and expand, but also a willingness to see the other person's perspective, a willingness to hold space, not just for ourselves, but for the other person, and a willingness to see beyond our own limited perspective when it comes to dealing with conflict in the relationship. And this is something I have been reflecting on recently because I'm so grateful for everything in my journey that has allowed me to get to this point, because I feel like the way that I'm able to show up in romantic relationship today is super advanced compared to what I was modeled growing up, what I thought it meant to be in relationship, and my habitual toxic ways of being in relationship in the past. And it's really centered around my earned ability to take ownership of my own experience, to know that whatever is going on in the relationship is something that ultimately is mirroring back to me my own parts, my own unowned parts, most likely. And that whenever I am getting triggered in the relationship, it's because it's an opportunity to heal. It's an opportunity to see myself more clearly and to understand what are these old wounds that I have not yet been aware of. And the thing about growth and healing and spirituality is that it's a never-ending journey. I know that I will always, always, as long as I am in this human body, be encountering more and more things to heal and things that will help me grow and transcend and evolve and get to the next level. It's like being on a constant upward spiral. There's no end point, but you can get higher and higher and life can get better and better as long as you are willing to move with the current of life, even when it is difficult. So taking ownership of our own experience is what I primarily want to discuss on this episode today. And I want to start with taking ownership over our perspective. Understanding that we are all operating from our own subjective perspective and that it's possible that objectivity doesn't actually exist. Which is a debatable statement, but from my view, if the reality, the world around us, is always being perceived by a subjective being, then how can any of us be sure that there really is any objectivity in this world? And I'm going to give some more depth, some more examples into this sort of philosophical topic. And I'm also going to share how it deeply relates to how we can have an easier time moving through relationships. But I'm going to give the example that I have given before on this podcast, which is the example of the elephant and the three blind men. So three blind men encountered an elephant one day and they started to touch it to try to figure out what it was because they couldn't see it. And they knew that it was an elephant, but they didn't know what an elephant looked like or felt like. And so one of the men was feeling the trunk of the elephant, and he was saying, "Oh wow, this elephant is long and narrow. That's what an elephant is. It's something that's long and narrow." And another man was feeling the elephant's ear, and he says, "No, that's not what an elephant is. Elephants are thin and floppy." And another man was feeling the elephant's belly, and he was saying, "You guys are both wrong. That's not what an elephant is. An elephant is big and stocky." And so, were any of these men right or wrong? Well, they were all right and they were all wrong. They were all wrong in thinking that their own individual perspective was the whole. They were only able to perceive a piece of the whole, not the whole picture. And they were right in that they were accurately describing their individual piece. So ultimately, the story points out to us that our own limited perspective in this world is not the full picture, and it never can be, because we all can only operate within our own limited viewpoint. This is how we all perceive reality. It's all going through our own individual filter based on the things that we were brought up with, the experiences that we had, the place that we grew up, the people who we grew up around, the values that were instilled within us when we were younger. And when we, all of these things color and shape how we view the world and influence what we think the world is and what we can expect from life and who we think we are and who we think other people are and everything. And it really does construct how we put our world together. And it constructs the unique lens through which we are viewing every single thing that happens in our lives. So when we see somebody else who has a different filter, who grew up in a different geographical location around different types of people, who had different values instilled within them, etc., it's almost like my lens for viewing the world has a green tint on it, and somebody else's lens has a yellow tint on it, and somebody else's has a red one or blue tint to it. And so we're all seeing the world just a little bit differently, but we're all kind of attached to this idea that we are right. But when we let go of our attachment to being right, and we invite and celebrate that everybody is just coming from their own unique standpoint, having their own unique experiences, then we can start to be in more harmony with ourselves and with other sentient beings on this planet. And the example that I have is a very practical one. So last summer, I was traveling to New Mexico with my friend, and we were going there to participate in a retreat that was held by our shared mentor. So I was in this group, and we were all being mentored by the same person, and we all traveled to our mentor's home in New Mexico to have this retreat that we were all contributing to. So basically, every single one of us, there was probably like 15 of us, we were all offering our own workshop. So it was like a self-made retreat where we were all giving, sharing, and receiving one another's medicine. So it was very beautiful, and the idea sounded really fun, and it was fun, but it was also tremendously challenging, because when we all got together, we didn't realize that we were going to be doing this, but we ended up confronting some very deep shadows within ourselves and within the collective. And so it ended up being a much more difficult retreat than one would think when you hear the word retreat, because we were coming up against emotional triggers and having to deal with them. And we were being triggered by each other and having all this wounding come up and be able to get released. So it was a very powerful experience, but not the easiest, is what I'm saying. And I drove there from Texas with my friend who's part of that group, the same group that I was a part of. And, it was challenging just being with her because we had to drive many hours. And, when you're that close to somebody who you're still getting to know, challenges just naturally come up, especially when both people have big personalities, which I think we both do. And she's a fire sign, I'm a water sign. And there was just some inevitable conflicts that came up, but we were able to move through it. And when we finally reached our destination and we made it to our mentor's house, everybody got together and we were all seeing each other. Some of us were just seeing each other in person for the first time because this group was taking place online over Zoom for the past several months. So it was a really beautiful time to meet everybody and to have conversations. And then it was time for us to go to our first activity, which was to go by the Rio Grande and have an opening ceremony to kick off the weekend of events. And right before we left the house, our mentor asked everybody, hey, if y'all need to use the restroom, now's the time. Does anybody need to use the restroom? And since my friend, who is a grown adult with three kids, she was my travel buddy, I just had this habit of checking in with her, like, hey, do you need this? Do you need that? Do you need to use the bathroom? Every time that we stopped, because we were, you know, like road dogs for the last 12 hours or whatever. And so I looked at her and I said, do you need to use the bathroom? And she had this reaction, like, I'm a grown woman. Why are you asking me if I need to use the bathroom? And she kind of made this like snarky comment, if I need to use the bathroom, I would use the bathroom, and then just looked away. And I was like, damn, like it really offended me. It put me off because I was like, I was just asking her, why did she have to come at me like that? And so I tried to, you know, sit with my feelings and let it go, but I just was really upset about it. And I was also upset about some other things that happened along the trip between me and her. And so I think that was just the breaking point. And later, when the opportunity came to talk to her about it, I restated exactly what happened from my perspective, which is literally what I just said right now, that I asked her if she wanted to go to the bathroom and she replied with an aggressive comeback. And when I explained that to her, she told me that that's actually not what she said. She said that doesn't even sound like anything that she would say. What am I talking about? So when she had this response to me, which was like complete unawareness of ever having said this to me, it was very frustrating because in my position, I knew what happened. I knew exactly what happened. And the fact that she's denying that that even happened and not even willing to work with me to find a resolution to this tension between us was making it even worse and making me very angry and caused me to give her the silent treatment for like a whole day, which triggered her and her, you know, childhood trauma. And you know, at the end of the day, all of this stuff served our higher good because we were all able to work through it and heal and come out better and stronger. But in the moment, it was felt very messy and challenging. Okay. And here's what I learned from it, though. What I learned from it is that, first of all, I was willing to question my own position. Well, is that actually what happened? Because I'm relying on my own memory, my own subjective memory, to tell me that this is what happened. And so now I'm asking myself, is this actually what happened, or did I just perceive that this was happening? And I started really digging into it and being open to being wrong, right? Letting go of my attachment to being right for the sake of finding resolution, both within myself and within this relationship with my friend. And as I started to question myself, even though to this day, I still feel like that is what happened, I realized that it doesn't actually matter if that's actually what happened or that's just what I remember happened and that's just my perception. Because ultimately, the experience that I had or the experience that I perceived myself to have was the experience that I needed to have in order to open up this trigger within me and be able to heal this deeper wounding, right? And so when we let go of the need to be right, the need to control things or all of that, and we just accept what is right in front of us and lean more deeply into it, that's where the healing and the transformation and the growth and the evolution happens. So that was a really profound takeaway for me, because it helped me realize that, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm right or if I'm wrong, or if the other person is willing to apologize or not. What matters is that I'm honoring and valuing whatever experience life is giving me in this moment, and doing what I can do with it, which is essentially look deeper within myself to find the healing and the resolution and step into that next higher version of myself that is more upward on that spiral, that upward spiral of growth and spiritual evolvement. So the moral of the story is that none of us are victims. Nothing is happening to us, but everything is happening for us. Every challenge is an opportunity to get better, to go higher, to go beyond, to transcend and transform. And how does this, taking ownership of my own experience and being willing to let go of my attachment to being right, contribute to my romantic relationship today? Well, as I'm sure you can imagine, it contributes hugely. Especially during times of conflict or triggers or misunderstandings in the relationship, because I understand that my experience is my experience. And maybe, most likely, my experience is a lot different from the experience that my partner is having. We might have been in the exact same situation, but the ways in which we each individually experienced that situation are totally different. Totally different based on our own unique wounding, on our own unique sets of experiences and growing up in the world and our own individual filters. And so rather than getting totally and wholly consumed by the filter of my own ego and being super attached to my position and needing to be right, I can step back and be the observer and let go of all of these stories that are running in my mind, even for a moment, to honor them and validate them and be there for myself, but to also be more of a neutral observer and hold space for my partner's perspective and all of their stories, all of his emotions that are coming up as well, and be able to hold it all within a space of compassion and understanding, and not needing to be right at the end of the day, because ultimately, just like the story of the three men and the elephants, being right doesn't actually exist, and neither does being wrong. We are all always right and wrong at the same time. So basically, being able to communicate, this is how I experienced what happened. This is what story is coming up in my mind. This is the wounding that might be being triggered. And maybe I don't even know, right? A lot of times when a conflict first arises in a relationship, you know, I don't know why I'm having this big emotional reaction, but I know that I have a willingness to sit with myself, to meditate, to talk to my inner child, and to find out what is going on, and to be able to perform the spiritual alchemy within myself to heal and integrate whatever part of myself is crying out for my own attention in that moment, right? And, you know, it might be that, okay, I'm not going to sit down and meditate right now because right now I'm having a conversation with my partner about what just happened, but I'm going to make the commitment to meditate later or tomorrow morning or as soon as possible. But for now, I'm just going to acknowledge that this is how I'm experiencing what's happening, and I can communicate what I'm experiencing, and I can also open myself up to the probable idea that my partner is not experiencing things like this at all. His experience is totally different. And so I can accept that, and together we can both express our feelings and find some type of harmony. Because in my experience, some of the biggest problems in relationships have come from not wanting to talk about what's going on within my own internal world. And as an emotional and secretive Scorpio being, that has been a really common theme for me, is to have a trigger come up and feel some type of resentment or animosity to somebody. And I can't help the way that I feel, because feelings are never wrong. But if I don't actually get the space to express this and to talk about it with the person, then it's going to set the energy off in the relationship. It's going to make things feel not very good, both for me and the other person. And the longer that I wait to talk about what's going on inside of myself, then the longer it's going to deter our combined trajectory, the longer that, you know, it's going to set us back in terms of a partnership. And so the sooner that I can just talk about what's going on inside of me from a non-personalized standpoint, from the standpoint of taking ownership over my own experience, the sooner that we'll be able to move beyond it, if that makes sense. And so with this episode, this is really the invitation for each and every one of you listening or watching, is to consider, how can you take this wisdom and move with it in your own life? And just being the observer of your own experience and being willing to let go of your attachment to being right or having that experience validated by somebody else, and be open to other people having a totally different experience. Taking ownership of yours and being willing to hold space for theirs. And any time that you observe yourself not being able to let go of your attachment to be right or have your experience validated, it's a strong indicator that there's something within you that really needs your own love, your own attention, and your own healing. There's some part of you that is fragmented, or some shadow aspect that's been habitually rejected, that you have the opportunity to go inward and to just be there for yourself, to be there for your inner child, to be accepting and loving of all parts of you, and to call all parts of you back home, and to create a space within yourself that feels like home, so that you're not constantly looking outside of yourself for that feeling, because that feeling ultimately doesn't exist outside of you anyways. So that's what's been moving through me this week. That's what I felt called to share with all of you. As always, I hope that it was helpful. I hope you found value from this episode. And I want to know your thoughts as well. So if you have the time, be sure to leave a comment on the YouTube version of this podcast and share it with a friend or on social media if you think that this message could help somebody else. But overall, I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Soulful Self podcast. And I will definitely look forward to talking to y'all again in 2 weeks. Have a beautiful day.